Here's what's coming up on today's show.
Are you really prepared to shift from a life of, aggressive accumulation to a life of distribution where the paychecks, they're not as systematic through the employer?
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Hello and welcome in to the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George. He's Tim Dyer. And today we're talking about psychology a little bit, Tim. We talk about money and finance, and I know that's kind of what somebody thinks about what you do. That's the first thing they think of. But there's a strong psychological side of this planning, isn't it?
Oh, we're going to roll out the couch today, huh?
Yeah, take a seat. Lay down. Get comfortable. Make yourself at home.
Well, to your other point, too, you said a lot of times we're talking money and finance. If I go anywhere and need to off on the spot calculate anything, a restaurant bill or something like that, if I'm not on the penny, people are like, well, you're the finance guy. Look, we use calculators and stuff too. But yeah, the mental aspect is a big part of success and overall health and well-being. So we got a couple of good things to chat about today about that.
Yeah, and to highlight that, we're going to talk about this article that we came across. It's called The Psychological Investment in Retirement, and it's written by a licensed professional counselor for Psychology Today. We're going to put it in the show notes so you can go through and you can actually read it for yourself. But it's interesting because, the subtitle is Your Bank Account is Ready for Retirement, But Are You? So it's really diving into your preparation as a person, as a, mentally, emotionally, are you prepared? We know the money should be in order if you're working with an advisor, but are you mentally prepared for that transition? So I want to go through some of these key points today, Tim, and kind of get your thoughts on them, and then also kind of learn more about, how you incorporate this into what you do with your clients day to day. But the first thing, and there's some really interesting points in here. So the first one that stuck out to me was that few people actually consider the consequence of walking away from this life and routine that they've built up, and which has probably defined them for multiple decades. And then all of a sudden you take that away. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, well, that's obviously the big one. And let's take this back up to 50,000 feet. The interesting thing about retirement is no matter who you are, you only go through it once. Right. Figuratively speaking, you have that one life, that one opportunity to get it right. Now, us as retirement planners and, financial experts, that type of thing, we're dealing with hundreds, if not thousands of people in this situation. But for each one of them, it's very unique. It's very personal. Right. And it's really their one opportunity to get this once in a lifetime experience. Right. And so. We have to have a certain amount of empathy to understand that, these are new milestones that they're hitting. And it's important to, when we talk to clients about these types of issues, is to incorporate things, what we call outside of the portfolio. And along with our topic today, the mental aspect of it. Are you really prepared to shift from a life of, aggressive accumulation to a life of distribution where the paychecks, they're not as systematic through the employer, right? Mm-hmm. So being prepared for that, it's sort of getting people to align their values with their vision and saying, hey, look, there's going to be some things that come up on this. There's going to be some challenges that have nothing to do with money, about your mindset. And, I'll give you the example. Okay. Avid clients that are avid golfers, it's sort of the de facto retirement cliche, right? I'm going to go golf every day. But even those people I know that are really passionate about golf, I mean, for the most part, you can't golf every day. I mean, there's other things to do. And if you do golf every single day, in most instances, it takes away a little bit of I don't want to say the joy of the game, but part of golf is getting out on the golf course, enjoying time away from technology and, coworkers or whatever it might be. If you're doing it all the time, it loses some of its luster a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we don't think about these things because we sort of think about getting away from being chained to the desk for 30 years and getting out on that golf course and having that freedom. So, you know, there's a lot of different avenues. It's a big mind shift change. And again, I think the mental aspect is just as important as the financial one.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. And you know, the author also kind of points out that the number one thing that retirees struggle with, and this kind of surprised me, but it kind of doesn't, but says it's finding consistent, genuine, and lasting meaning, which, I mean, I guess, you know, we deal with that, you know, throughout our lives, right?
For sure, for sure. I mean, deep down, these are those core emotions. We want our life to have purpose and meaning. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a story. My dad is a perfect example of this. Engineer, okay. Owned a business. I tell the story in our live events. I mean, my dad's a guy that can take really complex technical issues. He has the ability to, you know, describe them and help people understand them. But the point is, when he retired, my dad is, he's going to be 79 this year. And he was just out visiting us, so that was cool. But when he got out of the business world from running a business and, you know, dealing with all these technical engineering things, there was a little bit of, lost wandering in the desert, if you will. You know, it was almost as if my mom was like, hey, you know, get out of the house. Now, my dad is actually very active, but he hadn't really found his niche. So at the time, they were living in Freeport, Maine, beautiful city. If you ever get up to Portland, Maine area, just take the 20-minute trip north and go to Freeport. In fact, my wife and I got married there years back. But in Freeport, Maine, there's a well-known store. You might have heard of it called L.L. Bean. Ever heard of L.L. Bean?
Sure have, yeah.
It's open 24/7, 365. It's a crazy company, great company. But my dad started working there, and he's working in the kayak area. And he really got into kayaking, okay? And so in retirement, they lived on a point there where he could actually drop a kayak in down the hill from the house. And so he really got into kayaking around the bay, and he learned about all the wonderful islands that are around there. And it really opened up this new world to him. But get this, there's another angle to the chapter. He's working there, and one day a gentleman came in and said, I'd like to buy 10 or 12 kayaks or something. My dad says, oh, you know, do you have a summer camp or something in the area? And turns out this gentleman owned a cruise ship that kind of a mid-sized deal, not the big carnival guys, but these sort of smaller luxury ones. And it would go from Canada and the Upper East Coast, Boston, New York, all the way down to the Caribbean and, you know, everything in between, like a riverboat. Now, I tell this story because my father, it was a few weeks after, the guy from the boat called and said, hey, would you have any interest in coming on the ship and taking the passengers out on these kayak trips? So my dad retired, you know, I don't remember the exact age, but let's call it, mid to late 60s, is now working on a cruise ship, you know, living the life, kayaking around, doing what he loves to do, meeting new people every day. I mean, he found this purpose, and he's not on the ships anymore, but, you know, he's still very active, and all the thousands of people he met, he's traveling all over the country with my mom to go visit, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith in Ohio and, you know, the Joneses down in Florida. It's crazy. So, following those visions and, you know, having good mental clarity and in a way, not only following your hobbies or passions, but exploring new ones because you just never know what kind of doors it'll open up. I could go on about this, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And it's kind of, you know, what my next point was going to be is just that, you know, you want to find these things that you enjoy. You want to, this may be a great time for you to become that person that you want to be, right? And you thought about being and you just haven't really had the time to dedicate to it, but sounds like your dad and other retirees, it's a great chance to do that.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, side note, there's a book, I'm trying to recall the exact name. It's something along the lines of the five regrets people have on their deathbed, right? Mm-hmm. You heard of this book?
I think so, yeah.
It was a caretaker, and she spent a lot of time with people that were in hospice and things like that. But I mentioned it because they all had similar points of view. You know, they wish they'd spent more time with family. They wish they hadn't worked so hard during their working years. And one of them is that they really wish they'd kind of pursued that passion or interest that, you know, maybe it was to learn to play a musical instrument or learn a language or something that it didn't necessarily seem insurmountable, but they never really did it because they were going to kind of just do it later, and then it never happened. And then they never got the chance. So it's important to, as I mentioned before, is to really kind of explore those things and be open-minded and embrace your existing hobbies and interests and also look for new ones. And never underestimate the impact of people, whether they're known in family or whether they're colleagues from, you know, church or the community, something like that. People that get more and more isolated from people, that's a big challenge. They're used to working in a company that has a lot of people, a lot of interaction, and that can stop on, you know, day one of retirement if you're, you know, you're not figuring out ways to interact with people.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I'm curious what you think about this. So she was saying that some people have actually viewed this time, this transition, this break, I guess, from the work they've always done and the life they've kind of had, where they've had routine and whatever we've been talking about, they actually view it as a more stressful period because they're not going and doing something productive or tangible like work that they've been doing for many years.
Yeah, what you're talking about is us being creatures of habit, right? Mm-hmm. We go to our Starbucks in the morning, if that's your deal, and we see the same people at the same time. We order the same things. Heck, we could start ordering for people around us because we probably know them by then. But I'm giving you the example of habits. And when that goes away, it creates some uncertainty. And we as humans don't like uncertainty. We like the habitual nature of our routines. We like the predictability of the outcomes that we think we'll get by doing things, you know, repetitively. And, you know, that's not bad because that keeps our mental state, you know, potentially less stressful, but it doesn't allow us to break through, right, and get into new areas where, again, we explore new things. I've always had this sort of belief that the world is like this checklist, right, of things to do and experiences. I've never been the person that's like, well, I want to have a timeshare in Hawaii and I just want to go there for 2 weeks every year for the rest of my life. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, let's see Hawaii and then let's see something else. Now we have some clients that have areas that they like to travel to, and you know, we encourage them to do that. But there's something about trying new things, you know, and some things don't work out and some things aren't as exciting as we might have thought. But we learn, and that learning allows us to apply things to different areas of our life, whether it's, you know, how we manage money or take risk as an investor, how we, you know, interact with people that we don't know, you know, how we react when we're under periods of high stress. You know, are we able to slow down and figure things out, or do we just sort of lose our mind? So it's different things to different people, but it's just interesting how all this stuff is correlated. I'll add one other thing, Ben, that the financial services business, whether it's investing or retirement, it's a big space when I use that term. But I mean, there are really a lot of advances in what we call behavioral finance. And mm-hmm. if we were to put the math and investments and those types of things on a scale, right? On one side, you've got all that numbers and investments and things. And on the other side, you've got the human emotion side of things. You know, in the past, it was like if you picked investment A that was better than investment B and you made smart choices, you'd be fine. Now we're looking at things, and again, this is not revolutionary as of like 6 months ago. This goes back a few years now, but the behavior part of it is such a monumental impact on the logical or mathematical part. So just like mental state, understanding some of those milestones, maybe roadblocks or challenges that we have from a mental state, you know, that goes along with our behavior and how that interacts with our finances.
Yeah. Well, these are just some things that she points out that people struggle with, right? But she also talks about what you can do to kind of prepare yourself for this. And, you know, it seems probably pretty easy when you kind of lay it out like this, but it's much like your money, right? The earlier you get started kind of investing in yourself and that psychological growth before you get to retirement, the easier it's going to be to transition and find that meaning that you're looking for.
Yeah, I think what you're alluding to there is that if you're more financially prepared It may, to a certain degree, take one of those mental challenges off your plate. And that's not entirely true 100%, but somebody that's made smarter decisions, or I should say any decisions earlier by starting, whether it's an investment plan or an income plan, retirement income plan, whether it's looking at risk that you have in your portfolio and just tempering that to, you know, your attitudes around investing risk. There's all these different components. We could make a long list of them, but if you have a lot of those boxes checked off, or at least you're cognizant of their impact, again, taxes, risks, the list goes on and on. But if you have that stuff buttoned up, then psychologically, it's going to allow you to focus on other things. Now, you'd mentioned psychological growth, right, mm-hmm. before retirement. It goes along with the planning before retirement. So, again, that's kind of the theme of this episode. It's a two-pronged approach, getting your money right and getting your mind right.
Yep. Well, we're going to put this article in the show notes, so check it out, read it for yourself, kind of see what you think about it. But I'm curious, Tim, from your standpoint at Dyer Wealth and what you do with people you work with, your clients, how have you seen that they mentally prepare for retirement as they lead into that transition?
Okay, well, there are some people that have thought about this ahead of time, but most haven't. And so I'll talk about that here. One of the things that we do here is get people a couple of things. We get some must-haves, right? Some things that they want to accomplish that are known. But then we really challenge them. We have them put a really big goal out there, which might seem way out of their league or way out of their comfort zone. Again, maybe it's not a two-week cruise. Maybe it's a two-year cruise, right? These are really big thinking. And then when we break those down and look at the feasibility of some of those things, they start to realize that, like, these things are not that far out of their reach. And in some cases, they're not at all. And all of a sudden, people start getting really excited about the things that are possible. So, having a conversation about some of those things, not only preparing ahead of time, I think one of the things that we do here for clients that they appreciate, we get a lot of feedback on, is, you know, we hold them accountable. Oh, Mr. Jones, you said you were going to, you know, take that trip to Italy. I haven't seen you book your tickets yet. And they might, you know, and eventually they take the trip and say, hey, Tim, thanks. I think we would have eventually gotten around to it, but, you know, I'm glad you got us to do it, because now we have taken that trip and we feel good about it and we're ready to start planning the next one.
Yeah. That's so important. And again, that's why you have somebody that can hold you accountable, right? So how about from the struggle side? Have you seen many clients that struggle, like we're kind of, you know, seeing from this author in this article, that, you know, it is a challenge, it is difficult, it's not an easy process mentally for people. Do you see that?
Well, if I understand the context, Ben, you're asking if I've seen people where the mental challenges of retirement start really interfering with things or become overwhelming.
Yeah, the people that you're working with, do you see them have these psychological, maybe not struggles as much, but just having to work through this and kind of approach it like she's talking about?
I think, okay, along those lines, one of the biggest things that I see is clients really try to take on too much. You know, there's no shame in getting help in anything, right? If you want to lose weight, you can, eat less, exercise more. But if you really want to lose weight, you can get a private chef and you can get a personal trainer. You know, these are next level things, right? Mm. There's no shame in getting help in any of these areas. Specifically, you know, let's just use the example of financial advice. You know, having somebody help guide you through this that has been through this with other people and knowing how to navigate, the financial challenges, because there's a lot of things that can derail retirement that people aren't trained in, nor should they be, because they only go through it once. But the advisors that have been through it multiple times with the specific client, it's not just getting you to retirement, right? We know it's getting you through it. So I think if people get too overwhelmed with all the nuts and bolts of everything, financial, the other things that are going on in their life, that can really provide a challenge for them. And so we help them kind of identify areas where we use the term outsourcing, but you know, maybe just getting professional guidance or assistance in that can really have a positive impact.
Well, you talked about the behavioral finance and kind of the, you know, maybe the emergence of that side of things a little bit more. Is that something you intentionally include as part of your planning with people alongside the financial side that you obviously specialize in? But do you have more of the softer side approach to planning?
Yeah, at our office, Ben, we don't have desks. We just have couches, like I said. You know, we go right to now. You bring up a good point. Actually, part of our process, especially when we're engaging with new prospects or clients, when we come in, we don't talk about numbers at all in that first meeting. We want to get to know who you are, what's been your experience, you know, around money, what are your family's, you know, values, visions, and goals. Those are kind of the what I call the above the line issues, right? We have our planning horizon, and the above the line is essentially the what are things that are important to you? What do you want to achieve? The below the line stuff, that's the tactical, you know, what type of tools do we use? What type of resources do we have for that? And I find in this industry, most people kind of go there. You know, they meeting one, well, let's see your statements, and you know, option A is, you know, you have option A, our option B is better, let's do business. And you know, there's nothing behind that. We don't know what to recommend until we know what we're working towards, and also that we know what's important to our clients and you know what we have to help them achieve. So we are very active on both sides of that. Don't be fooled by this, you know, big hockey loving guy that, I got a soft side too, Ben. Can you believe that?
I do believe that, Tim, you know, getting to know you on this podcast, I can believe that to be the case for sure. Well, we're going to again put this on the show notes so you can read it. It's The Psychological Investment in Retirement. Are you putting the time in that you need to make yourself whole and healthy and ready for retirement, not just financially, but emotionally as well? Tim, any kind of final thoughts or anything you want to wrap up this conversation with?
Hey, take care of the mind and yeah, the rest will follow.
Absolutely. Find us online, retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. You can find all of our episodes right there. But if you want to call Tim, reach out, sit down, maybe take a spot on his couch and start going through the psychological side. You can always do so. 858-459-3937. That is the phone number. All right, Tim. Great stuff as always. Enjoyed catching up with you and we'll do it again soon.
Be well, Ben.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.